It's a good week for fixture swings in the final matches before the internationals. We discuss double or treble Arsenal. We have a bit of forward thinking as we worry about Pedro, and Sam tries again to have some luck with her differential. OK, then, two wildcards were active in the ends last week, so it's time for us to do our Thursday check-in on the FPL pod. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. How did it all go then, Sam and Jules? Sam, you go first.
Kelly, I got a green arrow. It's a miracle.
Hey. I'm sorry, but if you get a red arrow on the wildcard, Sam, I wouldn't have allowed you on this morning.
I know. Can you imagine how awful it would have been? And it was a big one as well. It's like 2 million places. So I was so happy when it was going well. It was just one of those. And actually, to be fair, it was just a couple of players that did really well. Like, in my head, everybody had triple captained Erling Haaland. So when he got that late brace of goals, I was thinking, oh gosh, actually, this is going to be a nightmare because I've only captained him. It's probably going to have a negative impact on my rank, but he's still actually quite lowly owned across the game. So actually was quite a positive thing in the end. The two Bournemouth boys that came in, Sinesi and Semenyo, did really well. Oh, I nearly had a rage at Kudus though, because how he did not score in that first half, I could not tell you from the stands at Spurs. I was just like, oh, please. And then it was in the back of the net and it was offside. And I was like, oh my goodness me. But yeah, 62 points, a nice big green arrow. And now I feel like I'm quite well set up for the next few weeks. So happy Sam this morning.
Happy Jules.
Yeah, I mean, very similar wild card as well. Haaland captain, which was obvious. Although, until the 75th minute, there was not much to show really for the captaincy and for his game. And then he got the two late goals, which was very good. I had Semenyo. Some of the players that I brought in, like Isak, for example, who I pretty much regretted as soon as I brought him in the wild card, because I kind of knew this was not a good idea at all. Timber, I was a bit unlucky there. The goalkeepers, a bit the same. But again, it's a wild card is not just for Christmas, as we say. It's for the longer term. So, I was happy. I left Gehi on the bench simply because I thought against Liverpool. But then he came in with that late assist for the winner as well. So that's the little regret I have is now I've started Gehi.
Jules, don't talk about benching because I benched Alderete's 17-pointer.
I saw that.
Incredible.
The thing is, with that one, were you never going to play him? So you can't. I don't know. It doesn't feel as bad if you were never going to play him. Then it was one of those
where I pulled up at Spurs and he'd scored, and I was like, oh please, it's going to be a massive haul on my bench. And then by the time I got into the stadium and the game finished, I was like, oh, that is a massive haul because it's a clean sheet as well. But I had no intention of playing him. I did kind of send some prayers up that maybe Timber might just fancy the day off on Sunday so that he would come off my bench. But no, unfortunately, he didn't. So, he's there for game week 8. And so I can't be too upset about it. But 17 points on the bench does stick.
At least you know that he's a good bench player. Like, it's quite nice. You know, sometimes we fill our benches with just like whoever we can afford. Yeah. At least you've got one of the better ones of whoever you can afford.
Yeah, that's true.
I also put Diouf on the bench. That was only 5 points. But yeah, Pedro Porro being benched wasn't great, was it, for me? I wasn't happy about that. A bit of a shock. Okay, so Jules, what was your total? Your total was 58 points. Yeah. My total was 61, but I did a -4. To 57. I can't remember. Did I say my -4 on the pod? I did, didn't I? So I did do what I'd said. I'd already done it last week. I did Watkins to Haaland. Obviously, Watkins did finally get off the mark. Verts to Semenyo and Munoz to Sinesi. Obviously, Munoz kept a clean sheet in the end, but Sinesi even better. So I'm a lot happier with that. So I was +14 up on that -4. So yeah, pretty happy, I think. Although I did, at 10:30 a.m., I was hovering over the triple caps him.
Why didn't you?
Because I just felt, I don't know, it felt bold what I'd done already. I'm not a bold manager. And I feel like there's a few other good opportunities to do it. I didn't want to go too early. I also don't like it when all of a sudden there's a bit of team news from Pep. Of course, he hadn't been playing very much and everyone just gets overexcited. And you know, when you think, this is too good to be true. I've been here before. Massive regret. Should have done it. I was sitting next to someone who had triple captained Haaland when he scored those two goals. I was at work. And yeah, I was very envious of that feeling because there's nothing better, is there really, I think, than when a triple captain pays off, because so often it doesn't. So yeah. Anyway, I got 61 overall, still got my wild card, still got 100 decisions to make. And my team still doesn't look great for this week, actually, now. But we'll come on to that very soon. As for the FPL Pod Mini League, new leader, Ray Evans. Ray's team is called Ray 2526. Does exactly what it says on the tin. It's Ray's team for this season. He got 106 points, took a minus four, triple captained Haaland, also brought in Doku as well. He has, however, played his wildcard bench boost and triple captains. He's 90th, though, overall in the FPL standings. We've also got Odhiambo Odera. He's gone into second place, also triple captained Haaland, as did third place Ross Lobley. I'm noticing a trend here. In fact, all of the top six managers in the league played the triple captain on Haaland. So well done, masterstroke from you guys. A reminder, the code is XY6XPL. Before we go any further and before I forget it, Jules, European roundup.
Yes, because we had Champions League football in midweek and yes, obviously six Premier League clubs involved, a lot of our players from FPL involved. So let's go with the Tuesday game to start with. Mickey van de Ven scored for Spurs on a Pedro Porro assist. Spurs were not very good, Sam, I think you would agree.
No, I'd agree, yeah.
But they got a draw in the end, thanks to Mickey van de Ven. We had João Pedro sent off for Chelsea in their 1-0 win against Benfica. Caicedo was outstanding in that game. Pedro Neto was pretty good, but the rest, again, a bit average. Mo Salah was benched by Arne Slot for Liverpool's defeat away at Galatasaray. Alisson got injured and we missed the game against Chelsea at the weekend. We know that for sure. Ekitike also got injured and came off. We're not sure yet about his fitness, but Isak came on, was poor. Mo Salah came on and was really anonymous. Not much better from Wirtz. We saw Szoboszlai at right back and that was not a good idea. And then the Arsenal boys on Wednesday night were pretty good. Martin Odegaard, maybe his best game of the season. Bukayo Saka scored, Martinelli scored, Gyökeres was decent too. And I forgot Newcastle, who won 4-0 away at Union Saint-Gilloise. Two goals for Gordon, one for Voltemade again. And we will talk about fours later. Voltemade could be in the conversation. So pretty good for some, and some like Liverpool and especially Liverpool, not so good.
Yeah, where does that leave us with Liverpool, Sam? Because two defeats in a week, having had a perfect start. I think a few people have said maybe they weren't firing on all cylinders, a lot of late goals to get them over the line. But two defeats is quite big, isn't it, really?
It is. And I think what you said is right, Kels, because the first 5 weeks of the season, they weren't exactly impressing. They weren't looking great, but they were finding a way to win the games right at the end. And maybe that was kind of papering over the difficulties that they had. And the fact that Salah hasn't been performing in the way that we would have expected him to coming into this season is also interesting.
Mm. And I forgot City as well, sorry. Two goals for Haaland in the 2-2 draw with Monaco. Reinders pretty good. But again, City in the lead, get pegged back, and that second half was not convincing at all.
Yeah, it's interesting with the top teams at the moment. They all, maybe other than Arsenal at the moment, all seem to kind of maybe have issues, or I'm sure Arsenal have their issues as well. Let's talk about Arsenal actually, Jules, because we've been looking for this fixture run quite a while, because they're actually top of the fixture ticket all the way through to game week 19. And of course, that's when the second wild card starts. So this is the time, isn't it, to maybe double, even triple up on Arsenal, would you say?
Yeah, definitely. And I think they've got good momentum going into this kind of schedule, if you want, and round of fixtures. We'd say they had the toughest start of the Premier League season, and to have 13 points, to just be two behind Liverpool, second in the table after those first six games when you have to play away at Liverpool, away at Newcastle, away at United. I know it's only Manchester United, but still home to City. I think they will be pretty happy with that. And some players are clearly coming into form now. We saw Saka and Odegaard especially being very good against Olympiacos on Wednesday night. The defenders are bringing you the points really right now. The three Arsenal players with the most points are Gabriel, Calafiori and Timber. So they've been very solid defensively, and because they're the best team in the world on set pieces, those guys can also return from set pieces attacking-wise. So it's a no-brainer that at least two Arsenal players, I think, are probably needed. And we can help you deciding which of the two. But if you wanted to go for three, I think you can go as well.
Let's start with the defence then, Sam, because they're pretty much an FPL dream, particularly with the addition of DEFCON, it feels like, because their centre-backs will get DEFCON points, keep clean sheets and potentially score goals, as Jules said.
Yeah, I think it will be interesting over the next few weeks as to how many defensive contributions they get, because what we've been seeing so far is that, generally speaking, in the more difficult fixtures, that's when the players seem to be picking up the defensive contribution points because you're playing against teams that are going to come and really attack. Whereas when you play against teams that maybe sit a bit deeper and try and defend against you, maybe you see less of those. So over the next few weeks, I'm kind of intrigued as to how Gabriel and Saliba do for DEFCON points, because they would be the two that I would expect to pick them up at Arsenal. But as you say, their defence has been incredibly good already. I think we said at the start of the season, that's the sort of run of fixtures that most people won't invest in the Arsenal defence because the clean sheets don't look like they're there. But they had an excellent record against all of these big clubs that they were going to face. And in terms of clean sheets, had the potential for them to come. So I've got Timber. I was sort of pleased to see him not starting in the Champions League, because that probably bodes well for the weekend, because, you know, going for Timber and Calafuri on the other side is maybe slightly risky, given that they have got two good replacements for those two, whereas Gabriel and Saliba, you feel like they are maybe more certain of the starts, and obviously you have to pay a little bit more for them. So it depends on how prepared you are to go risky with it. And we shouldn't forget about Raya either when we're talking about the defenders. There's less upside because I don't think he'll get that many save points over this period either. So you really are looking at two or six for him, and probably six in most weeks. Whereas the defenders, like you say, you've got DEFCON, you've got goal threat, you've got assist potential. Timber and Calafuri. Timber's got two goals, Calafuri and Gabriel one each. Calafuri's got an assist, so is Timber. Calafuri actually has the same number of attacking returns as Gyökeres does right now. So when you think about it in that way, they are really attractive, the defence. And I'm starting to regret the decision not to get two of them on my wildcard already.
That was only a week ago, not even
that. I know. one game and I already think, oh, I should have got two. Because the problem is that I look at it and everyone is going to have an Arsenal defender. It's going to be the same as it was last season, season before. So if everyone's got one, they're actually not making any difference to you unless they get upside. So unless they've got a DEFCON point that the others haven't, or they've got an assist or a goal that the others haven't. Whereas if you get two of them, they become almost a differential across your team against everyone else's teams in your league. So that's why I regret it, because everyone around me's got an Arsenal defender. If I had two, that would massively help to improve rank.
Yeah, I know what you mean, actually. That's something I'm going to consider, I think, on my wild card. It feels like Raya plus a defender is quite a nice way to go, to be honest. Yeah. Because would you say Sammy's the best goalkeeping option at the moment, Raya?
Him or Nick Pope? And I went backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards between the two of them last week. And in the end, I settled on Pope, and I thought I was going to get a monster haul out of Nick Pope at one point as well, because he was on for three bonus points, keeping a clean sheet, and then right at the death, lost both of those things. But I think, you know, the Newcastle fixtures are also nice. So if you are struggling with a 0.5, then you can come down to Nick Pope. I just wanted to keep 0.5 in the bank for a bit of a rainy day, just in case. But Arsenal are second on the fixture ticker. Apart from the game against Man City that they have in 12, the Newcastle fixtures are also really nice. So yes, I think Raya is probably the best choice, but I also think that Pope is a really great option as well, if you want to save 0.5.
Okay, going back to Arsenal players, Jules, what about the attackers? Because Declan Rice and Zubimendi are the highest scoring midfielders. And I think Rice is probably interesting because he gets DEFCON. He's one of the players as well that's maybe been benefited by that this season. Are they good options? Of course, Rice is only, I think he's 6.5. Yeah, he's 6.5 million.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Rice is also because he's on set pieces and the quality of his delivery. It's pretty amazing, as we saw against Newcastle, where that cross for Marino is just a perfect cross, really, and he puts those in so regularly. For DEFCON, he averages right now 8.5 defensive contribution per 90 minutes. So he's not a regular with that extra points, if you want, but he's not far at all. And I think he's more than Zubimendi, maybe, because I think just Rice is just more involved and there's more of outside of those deliveries and set pieces. He's the one that is going more into duels, I think, than Zubimendi, maybe, who's just there to dictate the pace of the game, really, for Arsenal. So I think Rice is very good. If you look really low into the Arsenal point scorer, if you want, Saka and Odegaard only have 12 each due to the injuries, mostly, and they're like stop and start, kind of start of the season, if you see what I mean. But now they're fully fit. As I said, against Olympiacos, Saka was on the bench but came on and did really well and scored slightly lucky goal, but still scored a goal. But I thought Odegaard was incredible. And remember, I told you that during the earlier in the season, I thought Odegaard was outstanding in preseason for Arsenal. And then he had that shoulder injury that really bothered him, and he started the game, and then he had to come off early twice and didn't really have that kind of rhythm. I think now he seems to be back to his kind of best, or not far from best. I think he's going to play slightly in a more central role. And again, there was no Eze from the start for Arsenal against Olympiacos on Wednesday night. So I don't know exactly what the role would be for both Eze and Odegaard when they are on the pitch together and where they play exactly. But I think Odegaard could be a very nice option. He's so lowly owned, and yet he seems to be really sharp again.
Yeah, and he is that little bit cheaper, isn't he? 7.9 million. And probably also just not back at full fitness yet, is he really? Because he's only just returned, so yeah, should get even absolutely better. Sam, did you had Saka in the end on your wild card, didn't you? I think you both did, didn't you?
Yeah, me too.
He's at 9.8 at the moment. You raised a really valid point last week about the fact that his price is just going to rise as soon as there's any returns. Hasn't risen yet, has it? But do you like what you see? Is he still worth the money?
Yeah, and we saw him score in the Champions League as well. So, I mean, look, Saka is always worth the money. There's debate about whether he's going to be on penalties or not. Probably not, but maybe take some here or there. But I just think that the route to points that you have from him is so good. And, you know, over the last few weeks when he's been injured and Madueke's been playing, Madueke has created the second most chances across that Arsenal team from that side. And you would expect that Saka would come in and do more than that as well. So I'm pleased to have him. Maybe it was a week too early to go there, but equally, I didn't want to be making that change because he's the player I wanted longer term from Arsenal. So I thought it's probably best to just go there a week earlier than maybe I was originally hoping to do. We'll see increased minutes from him over the next few weeks as well. So yeah, I'm happy to be there, and I'm expecting him to be 10 before long, particularly if he scores this weekend, his price will rise.
What about Gyökeres, Jules? How's he settling in, do you think? Because obviously you guys went for Isak on your wild card, and there was kind of a lot of people were split between, if they were going big on the forward line, people were tending to go either Gyökeres or Isak.
Yeah, it's an interesting one because I think he still brings a lot to this team. We saw that again against Olympiacos, but even against Newcastle when he got that penalty that was overturned then. It's just that physicality. He reads the game well. He makes some good runs, and yet he's still trying to find his feet in this team. And I think for the team to find a way of using him better in a way. And that's why maybe there's not as been as many goals as some people would have liked or maybe even expected. But I think he's getting there. And the goal that Martinelli scores against Olympiacos and the run that Gyökeres made, that ball from Odegaard, and how that physicality helps him to get in front of his defender and then has that shot that then bounces off the post and Martinelli scores. Nobody else in the Arsenal team can do that. So I think he's a massive value for Arsenal in this team on the pitch. For us, it might be a little bit early. And I'm not amazed, but 25% of the managers own him already. And I can see why, although I still think that he's a few weeks away from being really at his best and the team knowing exactly how they need to serve him and how they need to use him the best. So I would not put him in now, but very soon I think he'd be ready and I think he'd be firing.
It's also a lot of money, isn't it, if you've got Saka as well, Sam? I guess it's kind of, you go for one or the other, would you say?
It's tough, isn't it? Because I think, like, part of my thinking was that I wanted to spread a bit of love across all of the teams that I think are going to be in the title race, because generally speaking, all of those teams offer good route to points in terms of goal potential because they're likely to score goals and they're likely to keep clean sheets. That's why they're likely to be in the title race. So I wanted to have investment in the Liverpool attack as well as Manchester City and as well as Arsenal. Like, they were the three that I was kind of looking at. And at Liverpool, it's tough because, you know, if you're not going to have Salah, who are you going to have? Because Gakpo, I mean, we saw him get benched. Verts just really hasn't hit the ground running. Ekitike was suspended and it felt like a really nice opportunity to go early on Isak and know that it's easy to come down from Isak to Gyökeres if for any reason I do want to double up on the Arsenal attack. But I also felt like doubling up on the Arsenal attack right now limited is part of the reason I also didn't go for Raya. I wanted to go into the next few weeks with just two Arsenal so that I could see how they played against Newcastle, see what happened in the Champions League, and then decide whether it was going to be double defence or double attack that I went for. And I think if you go early and you triple up on them, you have to then sell one of them in order to bring somebody else in. So for me, that was why I went for Jokeres. I didn't go for Jokeres, and instead I went for Isak because it allowed coverage of Liverpool and didn't lock me on three Arsenal before I was really certain about which three I wanted. So I do kind of regret it. I kind of watched Jokeres and was like, oh, I think in these nice green fixtures that you got coming up, you'll do really, really well. But then if you're going to do well, Saka's going to do well as well. So I have to stick with Isak for a couple of weeks. But if it's not, if he's not firing in 1 or 2 weeks' time, then there'll definitely be the little devil on my shoulder will be going, make the swap. So we'll see how that goes.
All right, let's talk about forwards in a little more depth in just a moment. But just very quickly, who are your two or three Arsenal assets that you, I know you only wildcarded last week, but who do you think are the two or three best jewels?
So I think Timber is the best value for money, really. I know Gabriel right now is the Arsenal player with the most points this season, but just one behind, is Timber, and is a little bit cheaper than Gabriel too. And I think Timber, who almost should have scored really against Newcastle, had that great chance on the Zubimendi ball. Also can bring an assist to his game because he's quite an attacking right back too, which Gabriel can't really do. So I think in terms of what Timber could bring to your team, more than Calafiori, who doesn't really do assist, more than Gabriel, who doesn't do assist, for example, and more than Saliba for the same reason, I think Timber, for his price as well, for me, is the best of them. If you want to go with Raya, no problem. And then I think Saka still, despite Gyökeres, despite Odegaard getting back in form, or Rice, Zubimendi, I think Saka is a must-have right now.
Okay, Sam?
Yeah, I agree, which is a bit weird. I still think Timber is the best option. Like, he's created the second most chances in the Arsenal team, apart from Declan Rice, who's created more. So I like him. I like Saka. The third one's more contentious because I really like Eze. If I thought he was going to start regularly, I'd go there, but you've just got the rotation risk, so I don't think he can. Rice is really nice as an option. If you want a cheap third, then I think he's a really nice option. Reyes, the obvious third, I think. I think he's the obvious there, but Jokeres shouldn't be ruled out. And I think in a few weeks' time, we'd all want him. So the third one's more contentious.
Okay, so if in a few weeks' time, we're all going to want Victor Jokeres, then we've probably got a bit of a conundrum on our hands. Now, João Pedro is currently the most heavily owned player in FPL, although he's the second most sold ahead of game week 7. Meanwhile, there's been a bit of a change with Haaland now becoming higher owned than Mohamed Salah. So there is a bit of a sea change. Let's start with Haaland. I mean, this is going to be a very short chat, isn't it, Sam? Must own, must buy. Pep Guardiola's said it's the best version of him he's seen. It's the best he's been playing. So if Pep says it, we all follow suit, don't we?
Yeah, and I love what Haaland himself has been like, oh, you know, I'm disappointed in myself. Like, I sort of loved that what he was saying after the game yesterday about not feeling like he put the game away and he should have done more. Like, that kind of hunger is exactly what you want in a player in FPL. So yeah, short answer, Kelly, is just buy Haaland if you haven't got him already.
Agree, Jules?
Yeah, completely. And I still think that sometimes they don't use him enough to create chances for him. I think he could score more goals. And we saw that against Monaco in the Champions League in the second half, where he hardly touched the ball. City were not very good either in that second half. But it seemed that every time you give him a decent ball in the box, then he will score. So I think there's probably even more to come from him. But we've said it from the beginning of the season that we knew he was going to have a good season. We knew it. And it was just a case of Haaland and Salah from the beginning, both maybe. We had that discussion so many times. And I think if you didn't go with Haaland from the beginning, the time is now. You can't have, it's hurting you now if you don't have him in your team.
Why are people selling João Pedro, Sam?
Because he's had one shot in the last three matches. And
he blanked twice in a row, yeah.
Yeah, and I just think that, you know, you look at him and the opening weeks of the season, he was phenomenal, right? He came from the Club World Cup playing really well in a Chelsea side that were playing well. He was doing all the right things and was significantly cheaper than Cole Palmer. So much easier to invest in him. He came in at this kind of like ideal price point for us in FPL because you're looking at, well, I want Salah and I want all these other players. So if I've got somebody that's 7.5, as he was then, playing in this Chelsea team that's playing well, attacking, all this stuff, opening weeks of the season have gone well, Club World Cup's gone well. Like, you can understand the hype around João Pedro. What's happened over the last few weeks is that it's not, his position changes depending upon who else is available in that Chelsea team, where he plays. Sometimes he's in the 10, sometimes he's up in the 9, sometimes, like, he's here, there and everywhere. And depending upon where he is, he becomes more or less attractive to us in FPL. Plus, you've had the fact that Chelsea have been down to 10 men in the last two well, not just Premier League games. I was going to say, if you include the Champions League as well, last three. So you take them down to 10 men and it changes the system. So particularly when we look back to game week 5, the system changed entirely because Pedro Neto came off, then Cole Palmer got injured and came off. And Gio Pedro just wasn't really in the game at that point. And then we've seen that even last week as well. So one shot in 3 Premier League matches is not good enough in the forward line. And so you can understand why people are looking at whether they keep him or not, because on wildcard, I had Haaland and I had Isak. And then the third spot, I'd have liked to have kept Mateta. As you all know, I love him. And he was unlucky not to get something. But Gio Pedro felt like I had to keep him because he was so heavily owned.
Yeah, me too, I agree.
That it felt like a massive risk and an unnecessary risk to take him out of your team. Because if he scores, because so many people have got him, it's going to have a negative impact on overall rank. So for me, he stayed for that reason. But then I watched him in game week 6 and I thought, I'm not that impressed really. So now, I mean, the fixtures still remain nice-ish. Well, they're nice-ish after the Liverpool game because it's Nottingham Forest, then Sunderland before Spurs, who they always beat us, and then Wolves and Burnley before Arsenal. So when you look at that black, the gap between Liverpool and Arsenal is horrendous, but the games in the middle don't look too bad, and that's why I wanted to keep him. But now I'm looking at it and thinking, maybe I should have kept Mateta instead.
Is it because it's quite a difficult, well, I suppose you could have kept Mateta, couldn't you? Because I was going to say, who else at that price point, if we're all going big on Haaland, it feels like we're all having one of Isak or Gyökeres. That seems to be the kind of template at the moment. I guess unless you go really cheap and put more money into your midfield, it just feels like 7.5 for a Chelsea forward is why we're all staying there, Jules, maybe?
Yeah, I think you're right, Kels. That's a good point. I also, as Sam just said, it's so heavily owned that it's just an assist, you know, unless you're the forward that you've play or that you got instead of Joao Pedro is outnumbered him, or like, I don't know how you say it, like does better than him, then fair enough. But otherwise, it's going to hurt you massively. So for now, if you have him, just keep him because of that and see how that goes. I think the Palmer injury is a massive loss for Joao Pedro too, because they had a good understanding on the pitch in terms of creativity. Without Palmer, it's not the same either. We saw the red card that Joao Pedro picked up, as I mentioned earlier, in the Champions League, which maybe is a little bit down to frustration having been benched for that game. And maybe he was benched for that game to be ready for the Liverpool game at the weekend, of course. But also, it's not a good look when you get your yellow card before having touched the ball, like literally 30 seconds after you're coming on. And then the second one later, maybe this one was a bit harsh, but it's still a red card, which is not good. So yeah, I didn't want to keep him really in the wild card, but I had to, I felt, because of the how much he's owned. But it's one that in 2 games, maybe 3, if there's not much improvement to what we saw against United and Brentford, and again, with 10 men for Chelsea for most of those games, then I think it would be the right time to let him go.
Okay, so potentially hold for now, but he's one very much on our potential sale list. And we've already spoken about Gyökeres. But I think there's a conversation, Sam, to be had around the 3 best forwards, because I think it has changed in the last few weeks, as I said.
Yeah, I mean, Haaland is the obvious one. And then I think you have to make a call between Isak and Gyökeres. Potentially, if you're prepared to go a little bit rogue and not have Gio Pedro, it's not that hard to get from Gio Pedro to Gyökeres. It's doable. Right now, it's doable.
It's a couple of transfers, though, for some people, isn't it, really?
Yeah,
you've got money in the bank, but not everyone does.
Yeah, so if you've got money in the bank or you're wildcarding, I think probably going for a very... You've got 2 options. You either go very heavy up top and you go for the 3 most expensive and you have them, or you could look... There are mid-price options. Mateta, I mean, how Mateta didn't get something in that game at the weekend against Liverpool, I've literally got no idea. He was so unlucky. So you could go there. There are some, like, much cheaper options as well. So you could go down to like a Thiago at Brentford, and that would free up quite a lot of money, and that helps you to invest elsewhere if you do want to. Like, if you want to go double Arsenal defence and you don't want to go Raya, you want to go for two defenders, you're going to need to find a bit of money from somewhere, and maybe it can come there. I very, very nearly went Isidore at Sunderland as part of that. I came very close to doing that because it saved significant budget, and that allows you, as you said, Kels, to either improve your midfield or also improve your defence. And it allows you to spread that money around a little bit more. And I think traditionally in FPL, that's what we like to do. We like to go for two heavy ones in the forward line and then maybe have a third cheaper option that's playing. And he does kind of fit that bracket quite nicely right now.
Yeah, I agree, actually. Who do you think the three best are then, Jules?
Yeah, I agree for Isidore if you want a cheaper third. Foster as well at Burnley could be in that bracket. There's Jared Bowen, who's actually, if you look at it, the third best forward in the game right now with 33 points. And
three price drops as well for Bowen.
Yeah, yeah. Price dropped. Nuno coming in. We saw him scoring a really nice goal against Everton on Monday night. And I think Nuno's style, which we saw at Forest and at Wolves to a certain extent, not with the same success, but could suit Bowen and Paqueta and Somerville, by the way, who was, I thought, decent against Everton too, really could suit them, I think. And we could see a much better version of them than what we've seen so far, this season under Graham Potter. But Bowen, even with a bad start of West Ham, is still 33 points so far this season. And again, the third most points in the forward section. So I think Bowen is one to keep an eye on. And then there's Walter Mather that I mentioned earlier, because the fixtures are nice from a Newcastle point of view, because he's scoring goals right now that is not really the kind of goals that you expect him to score. Like last season in the whole of the Bundesliga with Stuttgart, he had one goal with his head. He already has two with Newcastle this season. And trust me, he's not a good header of the ball at all. This is not what he likes doing. So once Newcastle play on his strength as well, which they don't really do right now because he's still adapting to their style and integrating into this team, he's going to be even better. And he's 7.1 million. I think he's already had a price rise. So it's not cheap. But I think with the firepower they've got going forwards, I think it could be a decent option. And he's low owned, less than 5% right now.
Okay. And just a quick word on Isak before we move on. Neither of you feeling that happy, I can tell from your faces. Jules has already said it. Sam, where do you stand on that at the moment?
Well, Ekitike went off in the Champions League, like Jules said in his roundup. We have to see how that is. Hopefully for Isak's starting sake, it means he can't start at the weekend, but you know, he's available to come on. That'd be nice. But the fixtures are interesting, aren't they? Because obviously it's Chelsea up next, who they're going to be without Chalobah now because he was sent off in game week 6. So the Chelsea back line's going to be weakened. And then after that, I mean, it's Manchester United, Brentford, Aston Villa before Manchester City. Like, Liverpool do have to improve across those games. And I do wonder whether we might see a bit of a change of system to get Isak a bit more into things and maybe set him off running, because I don't think the system Liverpool are playing is working very well for them right now. So I'm going to give him a couple of weeks. If we get to the Man City game in 11, possibly even the Villa game, because at the time when Liverpool are playing Villa and Manchester City, Jokeres has got Burnley and Sunderland. So I think I'll probably wait until just ahead of 10 and then make a call on Isak and hope that he's returned in those periods, because in doing that, I'm also missing out on West Ham, Fulham and Palace for Arsenal. So it's a tough one. He's a tough hold.
Okay. All right, then. Let's move on to differential of the week. A reminder, differential, player owned by under 10%. Sam is eye-rolling. I wonder if that's because she... What are we going into? Yeah, was it game week 7? Game week are we on? Yeah, we're on game week 7, aren't we? And Sam, how many returns have you had from your differentials?
None.
Woohoo! How many times have I beaten you?
Like, every week.
Oh, my God. You know, in the Ryder Cup, when you see the board and there's only all the blue from Europe, that's me. That's me. I would like to see the spreadsheet with all my wins, please.
Okay, I'll share it with you.
So I don't know why Jules is quite so cocky, because I mean, he's outscored you by 1 point, but neither of your differentials returned. Foden got a point.
Ridiculous as well in that game that we have both had Man City players and neither of them got anything.
Yeah, O'Reilly got 2 points. So congratulations to both of you. A grand total of 3. Not even enough for one return between the two of you. I mean, Jules, you narrowly won, so you do get to go first. Yeah.
Thank you very much. And my differential this week is Yacouba Minte at Brighton, who is in absolutely banging form. 5.9 million. So, you know, I think a decent price if you have a slot in that midfield for him. Only owned by 2.3% of the managers. He gives you pretty much, and it's 0.47. But I give him the 0.5 expected goals plus assists per 90 minutes so far in the league. So he creates a lot. And I know sometimes the end product is a little bit frustrating because I think he's so, so good until maybe that last pass or the last shot, but he's getting better at it. And I think working with Ertzler will really help him, and he's gonna develop really, really well. So Minte, for me, all that pace. Brighton play Wolves at the weekend. He already has one goal and two assists in the first six Premier League matches. So not bad at all. And I really think that he's the main threat now for this Brighton team that plays attacking football. So hopefully there should be a good weekend for Yacouba Minte.
Okay. I quite like that pick. So yeah, I like that one best too. For it.
Well, at this point, I feel like whoever I pick, I'm just jinxing. So, like, sorry to anyone that owns Declan Rice, because I'm going to jinx him this week. I mean, he's going to cost you, as we've mentioned, 6.5 million. He's owned by 8.2% of managers. He's got three attacking returns so far this season and is averaging 5.6 points per start. He's also supplied the most crosses at Arsenal with 32, has created the most chances at Arsenal with 9. And of those 9, 2 have been big chances. He's also top for expected assists across the Arsenal team. So, Declan Rice, but if this one doesn't return, I might as well just give Jules the win right now for the whole season at this point. Ridiculous.
She's defeated, isn't she?
Defeat already on this one. This is the thing, is Kelly, I'm normally really good. This is normally the thing I'm really good at, is picking out the differentials. And for some reason, this season has been horrendous.
Yeah. Okay. Well, better. Your team's getting better, so maybe your differentials will get better.
Let's hope that that's the case. Let's hope the upward trajectory on my team also is reflected in what happens in my differentials as well.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, let's move on to transfers and captains. Are you doing anything this week?
I mean, because I convinced myself with my great differential of Yacouba Minte, I think I might bring him in for Reinders. The thing with Reinders, I love Reinders.
What? Hold on. I was going to say, I thought you were a fan. You said he's done well. You mentioned him in your roundup. So why would you do that?
Yeah. He should have scored 2 goals against Monaco on Wednesday night. He was very good. It's just that, I don't know. He was great against Arsenal, that assist for Haaland. And that's pretty much all he did in the game with the ball going forward. Because that's what I mean. Like, I want Reinders to be scoring or assisting goals, not the defending. And
he's better if Rodri plays, right? If Rodri plays, then Reinders is much better from an FPL
perspective. Yeah, but then Foden plays centrally now. And it feels like Foden takes a lot of the ball in those key areas. And against United, there was not much from Reinders. Against Burnley at the weekend, I mean, they score what, 5 goals or 4 goals. They've got nothing from. There was nothing from Reinders either. And there's shots where he's not far, but not far is not great either for a game, you know. So that's the thing. So that might be what I'm doing. I'm not sure yet, but I think Minte is a really good option. Not just because he's my differential, but I think he's a really good option too.
Okay, Sam, what about you?
I think I'm just going to roll. I looked at my team for this week, and when I set it up on wildcard, I was like, right, the next 3 weeks, barring an injury, they should be able to just play through. My hope is that I can play through this week, bench boost next week with a playthrough, and then have 5 transfers heading into game week 9.
You're hoping that you can play through an international break as well, yeah. And with no transfers. Oh.
Yeah. That's the hope. And bench boost after the international break as well, Kels. And then
so you need every single player to stay
fit. Everything needs to go well. Which has not really been how this season has gone, but that's the plan. So this week I look at it. João Pedro is the one I dislike the most in my team at the moment. Having said that, it's a Liverpool team without Alisson, who are sleepwalking into conceding goals left, right and centre. So I think I'll just give João Pedro this one more game, and then we'll look at it after the Chelsea game. And maybe because I'm planning to bench boost, and because international duty for João Pedro is not great in terms of the distance that he's going to travel, maybe I might sell him ahead of my bench boost in game week 8. But right now, I think I'll just really be boring and roll my transfer.
Okay, so in terms of wildcards, we spoke about wildcards last week because obviously you guys wildcarded. Sam, a lot of people did play the chip. There's currently over 276,000 active for this week. If people haven't played it so far, when would you kind of recommend, or is now the time to kind of take advantage of the likes of Arsenal's fixtures swinging?
A lot of the other content creators who played their triple captain chip last week have gone straight from the triple captain into a wild card this week, because I think it does make sense. It allows you to target Arsenal and Manchester City's fixture swings. It allows you to jump off those players that we're not entirely sure about. It allows you to make some good decisions moving forward. The only thing that it doesn't do is give you the knowledge of the international break. So I think this week, or wait a week and go in the international break are probably the right moments to do it, because, you know, maybe we're seeing a little bit of a change at West Ham with the new manager coming in. They looked a lot better on Monday evening. So, you know, maybe Arsenal you could wait one more week on if you want to, or just use a transfer to go on an Arsenal player and then use it over the international break, where you're going to have knowledge of, you know, international minutes and all of that jazz. So I do kind of like it this week. I'm actually surprised that you're not wildcarding this week. I was fully expecting you to be on it this week.
Because I just think taking a -4 and then doing a wildcard the next week just to me just doesn't feel quite right. Although I am at risk of not having Arsenal. So yeah, there was a serious thought pattern, but I think it's going
to
be next week.
You take another -4 to get Arsenal?
No, I won't. I can't get one this week.
You're not going to have any Arsenal for this week.
Don't laugh at me, Jules.
I'm not laughing. It's just every time you say, I will never take a -4 ever in my life again.
I'm not taking one this week. I'm not going to take one this week.
No, I know. But at the start of the season, you often say, like, one of my decisions for this season coming is not to take -4. And then you take one, and now you're going to take another one for an Arsenal player.
No, I'm not. I'm definitely not going to take one for an Arsenal player. I have a couple of ways of getting some. I've just got to work out if I'm comfortable doing that. But yeah, obviously I took a -4 last week. But I just find it really hard to take a -4 and then a wild card. I almost feel like you need a couple of weeks. Well, that did pay it back straight away, didn't it? But yeah, I don't want a wild card.
Yeah, your -4 is already paid off.
Yeah, I know. I'm still not sure on my front line though, the conversation we've just had.
Which Arsenal player would you want?
Just a defender, I think, probably just Timber. Or even maybe this week I just cover myself and I could just do like a Grealish to Rice, but that's a pretty boring kind of.
Have you not got any money? Just go goalkeeper. Just get Ray.
No, I haven't got enough money for goalkeeper.
You've just brought in Grealish, and now you're ready to sell him again.
Yeah, but I missed all his holes, didn't I? In true me fashion. just very quickly, captains, guys. Who are we going with?
Highland away at Brentford, probably. Yeah, although Semenyo, if you have Semenyo at home to Fulham, is decent.
Saka, it's a Friday night game, though, Jules. Can't Friday go Friday night game.
I know you can't. But for people who are not OCD like you, maybe. The thing I would say with Saka and Arsenal players overall against West Ham, Nuno is going to build a wall, like a double wall, right, for this game. You know it already that West Ham are going to just be that kind of team on Saturday. So it might not be pretty for Arsenal. They might score early and then destroy them, but it might also be difficult because you know Nuno is going to build a wall. So, I mean, let's see. I think Haaland, even away, also Semenyo at home to Fulham, Haaland away at Brentford is probably the way to go for me.
Sam, agree?
Yeah, I'm going Haaland. I kind of do want to go Saka. I like the upside points of a midfielder as well, the clean sheet potential.
But you just said, maybe this is me trying to persuade myself, but you just said Nuno's West Ham are better.
Yeah, they are. And they did look a lot better, which is what's put me off that. I also kind of like going really rogue on Isak against a weakened Chelsea defence, but I'm just going to play it safe and go with Haaland, I think, this week.
Yeah, it does feel like that's a sensible move, particularly with so many people reading Haaland in. Okay, that's where we'll leave it. A reminder, it's a Friday deadline this week because Bournemouth versus Fulham is the Friday night football. Deadline then is at 6:30 p.m. The Fantasy Show's back. Jani's in the studio with me on Friday morning. Off the Bench will also be back on Tuesday, Az and Lee talking us through all the key talking points from Game Week 7 ahead of the international break. There might not be any football for us to preview next week. As always, we'll be back, guys. So have a good week on weekend and hope you get loads of points. We'll see you then.